It is time for April's edition of TY's 20, your monthly sports podcast, coming to you live from WordPress Radio. Thanks for tuning in. This is our NBA playoffs and Pacers season recap show, and right from the tip-off, we're bringing in Pacers insider Chris Goff. Chris, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Tyler. Good to be here.
Speaking of the tip-off, the Indiana Pacers were a good basketball team, much improved team right from the tip this year. They started winning four of their first five games. They did have a few bumps along the road this season. But, Chris, overall, a 42-24 record and a 3-seed. Did you ever expect they would win that many games in a shortened season?
No, I didn't. They actually won about seven more games than I expected them to. I think I had them at 35-31 going into the year, but so many things went right. It was really just a terrific step forward for the franchise this year. You have to tip your cap to Larry Bird for bringing in the talent and dramatically improving the talent on this roster. David West, Leandro Barbosa, George Hill, even role players like Lou Amundsen. It's a far cry from the days when we were trying to win games with the likes of Rajon Mastarovic, Marquise Daniels, you know, Jarrett Jack, Maceo Bastin. Those days are long gone. So to be a number three seed in the Eastern Conference is amazing. It's the highest seed that we've had since the Reggie Miller era. So, and you saw so many guys take steps forward this year, like Paul George, learning to put the ball on the floor and actually make some offensive moves toward the basket. You know, Roy Hibbert shot 50% from the floor this year for the first time in his career. That was a huge thing, I thought. And just sticking with Roy for a minute, I think those extra 15 pounds of muscle really helped his rebounding. He averaged 9 rebounds a game for the first time. So a tremendously successful year. Unfortunately, you didn't see the fan support follow suit. There were only 6 sellouts. They were next to last in the NBA in attendance. So the fan support still isn't there. But, man, the success on the court, what a year. I don't think it could have gone any better.
Yeah, when you and I did the NBA season preview, about 4 months ago, we both agreed that the 3-seed would be the highest the Pacers could possibly get, but I think you and I were probably expecting maybe a 4 or 5, maybe even a 6-seed. So the Pacers really impressed a lot of people this year. If this was a full season, the Pacers projected to about a 52-win team. And they didn't just do their damage at home. They went 19-14 on the road. They had a lot of wins over some top teams and really took care of a lot of teams they needed to take care of as well. You didn't really have too many of those games at home against bad teams that we dropped like in years past. Now, in this season, let's talk about some of the defining moments. In your opinion, maybe there's one moment, maybe there's a couple defining moments for the Pacers team this season.
Yeah, sure. Well, you might say that the critical moment was when the calendar flipped from March to April. I think we all knew that the schedule was going to be tough in March, but things just really, really turned around. I think the Pacers ended the year winning 12 of their last 15 games, and I think that comes down to two things. Number one, I think Vogel actually said this the other day, that getting Leandro Barbosa at the trading deadline really changed the team, and I think that's true. You think back, I think there may have been a couple of games that we won just because Leandro Barbosa was here, because it put A.J. Price on the bench where he belongs, and it gave us some scoring punch, and I think he had some games where he was in double figures that we might not have won otherwise. And then the other thing that I really liked was on March 29th, David West, the Pacers just blew a game in New Jersey. It was a really bad loss. They weren't even competitive. And David West came out, really told the team the truth. And he said, we're an average team right now. We're only beating bad teams. We're not beating good teams. And I think that sort of honest, straight talk from a veteran player who's been on 50-win teams, who knows what a winning locker room looks like, was really a wake-up call to the Pacers. And I think that actually changed their season because, you know, Vogel's sort of the eternal optimist. You know, he sort of rainbows and unicorns a lot of the time. So to get that message from David West was really a wake-up call, and I think it turned things around.
I agree with you. David West, not only with his play, but off the court, and the like you said, some of his quotes has just been such a huge pickup for this team. And Barbosa coming has allowed George Hill to be more, get more minutes at the point and just do more things with our depth. For my defining moment, it might be a little surprising. I'm going to go back to the games that the Pacers played the Knicks on back-to-back nights and talk a little bit about Roy Hibbert. As much as this team benefited from the additions of West and Hill and Barbosa, and as much as this team goes as Danny Granger goes, this team also goes as Roy Hibbert goes. And after he was named an All-Star, he really started to struggle, which we've seen a little bit in the second halves of seasons the past couple years. But he had a stretch right after the All-Star break where he was averaging less than 8 points a game and about five boards. And that's when the Pacers played the Knicks in New York, and Roy had 4 points. But the following night, Roy came back with 24 points and 12 boards, and the Pacers still lost that game, as many of you know, but I think that was an eye-opening weekend for the Pacers team. They got swept by the Knicks, took it a little bit personal, and that's when I think Roy Hibbert got his game back. In a long season, you can even look at losses as defining moments to me, and after that game, Roy went back to averaging his typical numbers, and the Pacers finished the season winning 17 of their final 23 games. And speaking of those final 23 games, my question to you now is, have the Pacers figured it out as a team? Because you and I have talked before about Frank Vogel's tenure and how the team's kind of been red hot or ice cold in his year and a half as a head coach. And they were that way pretty much all season this year until this final stretch of games. 17-6 is very impressive. Have they gelled enough to make a run? As we turn our attention to the playoffs, the Pacers play the Orlando Magic without Dwight Howard. So what are your expectations heading into the series? Is there any concern about this team's lack of experience or how the postseason is a different animal? Or what do you think? Have they gelled enough to get it done?
Yeah, well, one minor concern going into the series is David West really did not play well against Magic this year in any of the four games, which I thought was strange. That might be something to look for, but overall, I think this matchup couldn't have been a better draw for the Pacers. Orlando might win a game tie, and I think that's it. I don't see them putting up a fight. With Howard, this series would have been a toss-up because Indiana was 1-3 against Orlando this year. All four games, Howard played. I know multiple players on the team have said the Magic are dangerous, but, I mean, come on. The Pacers are scoring 100 points routinely these days. I don't think Indiana will have any difficulty scoring points in this series. You look at Roy Hibbert versus Glenn Big Baby Davis. Couldn't be a bigger mismatch in the paint. Hibbert's 7'2". Davis is 6'8 or 6'9". The Magic are going to have to hit a lot of threes to keep up. I know they get Hedo Turkoglu back. That may be sort of a good thing for them. I know he's going to wear a mask. But he hasn't given them much in the way of production. I think Paul George against J.J. Redick is just a terrible matchup for Orlando. The Magic don't have anyone to stop Danny Granger. Their best player right now is Ryan Anderson. And, yeah, he averages 16 points, 8 rebounds, I think it is. But if Ryan Anderson's your best player going into a playoff series, you really sort of have major problems. So I think this is sort of a freebie for the Pacers, I think. If they'd gotten the Knicks in the first round, that would have been more or less a toss-up. But without Dwight Howard, you're losing 21 points, you're losing 15 rebounds, and that's a huge thing. And I think the other factor in this series is, Howard most likely told Magic owner Rich DeVos, who's like in his 80s, that as a condition of waiving his free agency this summer, he wanted Stan Van Gundy fired. Well, Ty, we're about to find out how much the rest of Orlando's players like Van Gundy. We'll see how they feel about their coach by how much of a fight they put up in this series. So I don't see how the Magic get any rebounds. I don't see how they run a single post play. They have next to nobody to bring off the bench. A washed up Quentin Richardson. I'm not that good to begin with, Chris Buhan. And it's just unthinkable to me that the Pacers would lose this series.
Yeah, to me, the only thing that makes the Magic even slightly dangerous is if they come together kind of a us versus Dwight Howard mentality. But even then, this is not college basketball. This is the NBA. And even if they come together and play well, I think the Pacers are just going to be too much for them. I've talked to some fans of ours who even feel that the Pacers are just going to roll right over the Magic, and it's not even going to be a test for us heading into the second round. And some people are even a little disappointed by that because they want to see the Pacers with, you know, some good opponents here. But we've got much higher goals than winning one round of the playoffs now. And if it were up to me, I'd have the Pacers play the Bobcats every series if it meant winning a championship. So I'm perfectly fine with an easier first-round opponent because after that, whether we play one, two, or three more series, it's going to be extremely difficult to win. So I'm with you. I think the Pacers beat the Magic in five. A sweep wouldn't surprise me, but I do think the Magic maybe get one at home. Now, I don't think these games will be as easy as some might think with you know, blowouts and things like that. This is still the playoffs. The Magic still do have some talent. On the offensive side for Orlando, I'm going to sound like a old NCAA analyst here, but J.J. Redick has been lighting it up as late. Of course, he probably gives up as many points as he scores, but the Pacers can't take them lightly. They need to take care of business, and I think some of the games will be close, but like you said, I have the Pacers winning 4-1. Hibbert and West got to be dominant down low. We'll talk about the rest of the league in the playoffs as we go, but assuming the Pacers do win the first round, who do you see them taking on in round two? Do the Knicks have any chance of knocking off the Heat? And what are the chances, realistically, that the Pacers can win their second-round playoff matchup as well?
Well, in regards to that Knicks-Heat series, I think it's a good series. It's sort of a reuniting of all those great 2003 draft picks. But to be quite honest, Amari Stoudemire and Carmelo Anthony just don't mesh well. So the Knicks would be better off if one of those two were hurt. They just don't work well together. So I think Miami is just too good to lose this series. And then if you're looking at a Miami Heat-Indiana Pacers second-round matchup, I think the Pacers have a chance to advance deep into that series. The Pacers were 1-3 against Miami this year. That's not a good sign. And the biggest problem is Miami never loses at home. They were 28-5 in American Airlines Arena, and because the Heat would have home court, you could see the Pacers go down 2-0 in that series fairly quickly, and it's hard to dig yourself out of a hole when you're facing LeBron James, who may have just played the best season of his career, by the way. Now, you might say, are they healthy? I know Chris Bosh has that hamstring issue. Dwayne Wade has a dislocated finger, but ultimately I think Miami's come too far to let minor injuries derail them, and while I think the Pacers would take that series to six games, it wouldn't even surprise me if it went to a game seven on Miami's home floor. I really think that Miami would prevail.
Yeah, the Heat are easily the most talented team in the NBA, and I've been saying all year that I'd be shocked if they don't win it all this season. But with that said, in order for the Heat to win a title, it's going to be tough. They got a tough road ahead of them. They're going to have probably New York, Indiana, Chicago, and the West winner. So those are the likely opponents for them. Like you, I'm glad the Pacers aren't playing the Knicks in the first round. I think they might be a little bit dangerous. Yeah, in fact, the last time the NBA had a shortened season, what happened? You know, the Knicks were the 8 seed, and they went to the finals. Completely different year, of course. But with that said, I think the Heat will be too much. I think they'll beat the Knicks maybe 4-2 or 4-1. But I wouldn't mind them playing a deep series, giving the Pacers a little bit of rest and time to prepare. As for the second round, I don't see the Pacers making it out of the second round, but I do think they at least have a chance. And as a fan, that's really what you're looking for. You're looking for a chance. And I will say this, the Pacers have to win one of those first two games in Miami, assuming they're playing the Heat, to have any chance in the series. And like you said, Miami's just so good at home, it's going to be tough to do, but there's no way we're beating the Heat 4 out of 5 games if we're down 2-0. So we need to win one of those in Miami. Overall, I think the Heat will beat the Knicks in maybe 6, and they'll probably beat the Pacers in 6 as well. What about the rest of the league in terms of the playoffs? What matchups intrigue you the most? Who do you see in the conference finals?
Yeah, well, I think you're going to see a rematch of Miami-Chicago, which happened last year in the conference finals in the East. I think that Atlanta-Boston series is interesting. I think it should be competitive. It should be defensive-oriented. I know the Hawks have home court. You could see some really small lineups, but there's no Al Horford. And I think that really turns things for the Celtics, who, by the way, looked dead at the All-Star break. What happened to those guys? They really turned it turn it on. I think Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen are free agents this summer, so maybe that group is looking to make one last run. But I think when you look at the Celtics and Bulls, I think Ray Allen's ankle injury is a huge thing to watch. If you're not hitting on all cylinders, you're just not going to beat the Bulls. And then we've talked about Miami coming out of the second round. And so I think you look at a Miami and Chicago matchup. Miami won last year when Derrick Rose was healthy. And, yes, the Bulls are the top overall seed once again this year. But Rose sat out 27 games this year. And he still had the top-selling jersey in the NBA, by the way. But injuries to his ankle, to his foot, to his groin, Derrick Rose is not close to 100%. So I see Miami getting out of the Eastern Conference. And Miami was my preseason pick to win it all. And so I'm going to stick with them. I think Miami is going to win the NBA championship. They came awfully close last year in what was just year one of the LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh era. So I think that extra year will help. I think Miami was a little bit bored at the end of the regular season, but I really expect them to be a real force in this playoffs.
Yeah, I don't look too much into their latest slump because they kind of had one of those last year too. But like we said, even though they have a tough road, I'm also sticking with Miami as champions this year. I've got them playing Oklahoma City, who's got a couple issues of their own, but I think they've got too much talent to waste that out of the West. You talked a little bit about the Bulls. They're kind of hard to predict because this year the Bulls learned how to play without Derrick Rose, which is a little bit scary if you're an opponent. But in the playoffs, will Derrick Rose try to do too much? Will they go back to how they were last year in the playoffs, where it's basically Derrick Rose or bust? If they can find a balance between those two, it's definitely a team that could make a run at the title, but I'm still taking Miami over them. We've got a couple minutes left. What would you like to leave Pacer fans with as we reflect on this season and head into the playoffs?
Well, as I said, the fans, of course, got to change. It's embarrassing that this team is next to last in the league in attendance. People just started coming out to Bankers Life Fieldhouse. I don't know if they didn't like the name change or if they're not sold on this team. I kind of find that hard to believe. I think this team is set up for success for the next 4 years. I know we've got David West under contract for one more year. Danny Granger isn't even 30 years old yet. Roy Hibbert's going to be re-signed this summer. I think George Hill's going to be re-signed this summer. So you're still looking for that one star, but I think the Pacers are set up very well to be a top four seed in the Eastern Conference for years to come. And I think everybody should be excited about this playoffs and excited that they're going to keep getting better. I know last year I expected Larry Bird to retire, and turned out he was close to doing so. As he told the Boston Globe, he was going to retire, but Herb Simon talked him into staying another year. I think he might hang it up this time, and you might see another decision maker come in, but whoever's in charge of the Pacers, salary cap space, young talent, successful talent, there's nothing but a bright future to look forward to, in my opinion.
Absolutely, and you touched on something I was going to talk about as well. The fans need to show up and no longer embarrass this franchise. This is Indiana. We're supposed to be a basketball state. If we end up playing Miami or New York in the second round, people need to show up for the blue and gold. We cannot get outnumbered in that series. And other than that, my message is actually to the doubters and naysayers. I've been saying for 2 years this team would get back on track, and this would be the year they would do it. Last year, I thought they would sneak into the playoffs, and I predict they lose in Game 5 to the Bulls. That's what happened. This year, though, a lot of people question things like, well, they have money, but who are they going to get? Who's going to be available? Those young players, are they really going to develop? And it turns out that they have, and it's a 3-seed. The Pacers are back in the thick of things in the NBA, possibly just one piece away from being serious title contenders. But now to the Pacer players, don't make me look like a fool, right? It's time to really shine now as the playoffs have arrived, and I can't wait to watch the blue and gold hopefully go deep into this year's postseason. Chris, thanks so much for joining us, and go Pacers!
Hey, no problem. Absolutely.